The morning of today's daf in Sanhedrin is Kuf Hey. We are on Kuf Dal Amud Beis. We're finishing up the Joshua Sumecha. The Kuf Dal Amud Aleph, the Gemara in the bottom of the Amud, turned its attention to Megillas Eicha, and the Gemara started darshaning. Not clear to me exactly why the Gemara got onto the Megillas Eicha and started darshaning the Pesukim in Eicha, but basically that's what the Gemara started doing yesterday. So we didn't go Keseder through all the Pesukim. We started in the first Pasuk, and the Gemara then described a couple of psukim throughout the first parak of Eicha. And so we're just finishing up these gemaras over here. We are now going to be quoting the another pasuk from the first parak. This will be not the last pasuk of the first parak, but the last pasuk of the gemara is going to be darshaning. Sila kol abirai Hashem bikirbi. So in the gemara itself, we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Say it's about 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the last five words of the line. So the Gemara goes on to explain, this is the first parak of Eicha, 15th pasuk. The Gemara goes on to explain, it's like saying that this coin is worn out. And as Rashi explains, the word sila comes from the word misila. Misila is a pathway. And how do you form a pathway? Basically what you do is you keep stepping on it again and again, and that forms the pathway. Similarly, so that's what we were. We were like worn down. We stepped on it again and again, and so that's how we were, that's the pasuk in Eicha. Patsu alaych pihem. So Gemara turns its attention to another pasuk in Eicha. This is now in the second parak of Eicha. Amrav Yochem Bishvil Mahigdim Pe Lai. Now you'll notice, of course, that the first two parakim of Eicha, third parak as well, but the first two parakim of Eicha are the acrostic. It's the Aleph base. And so in the first parak, so we have Aleph through Tav, the 22 letters. The Gemara in the beginning of this entire drasha explained why that was. But if you look in the second parak, it's also acrostic, it's also Aleph base, but oddly enough, the pay and the ayin get flipped around. So it should be ayin pay, meanwhile it's pay ayin, why should that be? So the Gemara says, Bishvil meraglim sh'amra b'piyem, mashlo ra'u be'ineim. The pay is the mouth, that's the pay. The ayin is the eyes, that's the ayin. In fact, the names of the letters actually are definitional, it's really what they represent. And it's a reference to the Meraglim, as we pointed out, Tisha B'Av, the destruction of Churban Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and other calamities that befell the Jewish people, are all rooted and embedded in the Meraglim. And by the Meraglim, they took their pen, they put it in front of their eye. In other words, they spoke something which they did not see. Continuing in the Gemara, Ochle Ami, this is not... Not Miguel Secha, but we just quoted Rav in the name of Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara is going to quote another halacha, Rav in the name of Rav Yochanan. Ochle ami achlu lechem Hashem lo karau. So they ate lechem Hashem that was not called out. So amar Rav, amar Rav Yochanan, kol ha'ocha malachem she Yisrael tom tam lechem. If you eat the bread of the Jews, so you're going to be tasting tam lechem she enocha malachem she Yisrael eno tom tam lechem. So there's a certain kind of hana that one receives when they eat from the Lechem Yisrael. Hashem lo karau, the pasuk goes on. The pasuk went to say, this is still the same pasuk we just quoted, that they did not call out to Kosh Baruch Hu, Rav Amar Ela Dayana Mishmol Amar Ela Malam De Tinokas. So corrupt judges or either Mechanchem that don't take their profession seriously, but in other words, that is the root cause of why there was so much gazela, why there was so much theft. They stole the bread of the Jews. Okay. That takes us to the end now of, not yesterday's daf, but from a subject matter, that's the end of yesterday's daf. And so the majority of yesterday's daf was dedicated to Megillas Eicha and the darshaning of Pesukim regarding Eicha. Now, we are on Kuf Dal Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom, Miman Am. Okay, about 15 lines from the bottom. Gemara now opens up with a simple question, but it's a serious question. And that is, who's counting? Meaning, in our Mishnah, we have three and four. Three kings, and four hedyotos that made into the dishonorable. The dishonorable hall of fame. Hall of shame. Yeah. So who's doing this? Meaning, who's giving us this information? And rooted in this question really is that we're talking about Olam Haba. And we're talking about people who do not have a chelik in Olam Haba. So I say this most literally. How are we on God's earth supposed to know who is and who is not in? Who's in and who's out? Meaning, how are we supposed to know all that information? How does the Mishnah know to arrive at that information? Now, in other words, when it comes to the other Mishnayos, another Torah Shabbat Pesach, that's easy. It's a Mesorah, meaning it's a Mesorah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and passed down from generation to generation. But now we're talking about personalities that lived well between Maamad Har Sinai and the writing of the Mishnayos, and how are we supposed to know? So it's a simple question, but it's the right question to ask. So Mimanam, so who's doing the counting over here? Avram Mishnah, Rav Ashi, Anshe Knesset Gedola Manam. So it's the Rav Ashi says it's Anshe Knesset Gedola. Now the profundity of this answer is rooted in the fact that Anshe Knesset Gedola, who were there at the building of the second base of Mikdash, so they had the last Nevi'im. The last of the Nevi'im were part of Anshe Knesset Gedola. So in other words, if it's just through Chachma, there's no way we're supposed to know this information. Who's in and who's out. But if it's through Nevuah, so then we can know this information. So the last Nevi'im, Anshe Knesset Gedola, is the one that is disseminating this information of who's out, who does not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Bikshu, Od Limnos Echad. They want to include one more person. Now this one's going to be a little bit of a shocker in terms of who else they want to include. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says it succinctly in one word, Shlomo. They want to include Shlomo. Now that, of course, is shocking. It's... In other words, we're talking about the lowest of the low. In other words, the most depraved of the kings of the Jewish people. And so we included Yeravam, Achav, and Menasheh. And there were people who were on the bubble, who we already spoke about at length, Achaz, and Yoyakim, and Amon, and okay. So, and now what the Gemara is suggesting is that there was another one that wanted to be included in that Shlomo. Now that's, it's mind-bending. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David HaMelech, the builder of the first base of Mikdash. Okay, so obviously, in other words, there are things that could be brought up and discussed. I'd rather not. There are things that could be brought up, but in other words, the idea, just the suggestion that Shlomo HaMelech belongs on this Mishnah, it's shocking. It's a shocking suggestion of the Gemara. And watch what happens with this suggestion. So Amra Bikshu Odlim Nosach Echad. So they wanted to add one more, and again, we now all know who we're talking about. So about the Mosdiok Nushal Aviv Vinishtache Lifneim. So an image of Shlomo HaMelech's father, David, so goes now to this Anshe Knesset HaGadol assembly and starts pleading and petitioning, please don't include my son in this list. V'lo ishkichu ala, but the Anshe Knesset HaGadol said no. In other words, we're ready to include him. Ba ish min hashamayim v'lachacha ish b'sif saleihim. A fire comes out from heaven and starts burning the bench in which the Anshe Knesset Gedol is sitting on. And v'lo ishkichu alaha, and once again, they paid them no mind. The Anshe Knesset Gedol. Yatzu baskal v'amr lahem, chazisa ishmael here b'malach zol lifnei malachim yisyasev b'yisyasev lifnei chashuchim. And then out comes the baskal, and the baskal says, so this person is somebody very special. And the Gemara goes on to explain the pasuk from Mishlei. And by the way, the irony. In other words, quoting a pasuk of Mishlei, defending Shlomo from not being put into the Mishnah. Meaning, he's mechaber, Shlomo HaMelech is mechaber svarim they made into Tanakh. Right? The Gemara and Baba Basra credited him with Sefer Mishlei and Sefer Shir HaShirim and Sefer Koheles. Right? So he is responsible for authoring three of the 24 books of Tanakh. So again, it just speaks to this idea of there's just such a shocking suggestion. And so, and the Pasuk of Mishlei says, Kol shehiktim beisi lebeiso. In other words, let's take a look at Shlomo HaMelech. In other words, he built two houses. He built a house for Kadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise known as the Beis HaMikdash, and he built himself a house. And so, and which one did he build first? He built the Beis HaMikdash first. And on top of that, v'lo od, ela, shebeisi bana b'sheva shanim, beiso bana b'shosh esrei shana. 7 years took him to build the Beis HaMikdash, his own house 13 years. Now, I know this could be spun. But the Gemara is spinning this positively, meaning when it comes to building of the Beis HaMikdash, so basically as a GC, as a general contractor, so he's moving these people to build the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it only took 7 years. His own house, so he didn't get the workers to work as hard and to work as fast. In other words, it's his own house. It's not as important, so therefore it took 13 years. I know you could spin it the other way around, but the Gemara spins it here positively. So, Lifnei Malachim Yisatzev. So, Baal Yitzasev Lefnei Chashukim. He should be standing together with other kings, meaning Shlomo HaMelech should have a place in Gan Eden. And V'lo Yishkichu Aleha. So, and even though this pasuk of Mishlei was cited to the Anshe Knesset HaGedolos, and once again, so they were objecting. They're like, nope, we got to put him on the list. Yatzah Baskal V'Amra Ha Mi'imcha Yishamenu Ki Ma'asta Ki Atatichcha V'lo Ani. somebody who I chose is somebody who's going to be having a portion of chelak in olam haba. Meaning, Akash Baruch Hu is saying, whose decision is this? Is this your decision or is this my decision? Obviously, it's my decision. I decide who gets in and who doesn't, and Shlomo HaMelech gets in, and Ad Kan, that ends the dialogue, the discussion between Anshei Knesset and Gedolah and whoever they're arguing with. The image of David, the Baskol, the Psukim, or the... okay. And again, the Gemara, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the Gemara is really shocking, you know, even with the suggestion. So in the Masifta, so I saw the Ben Yoyada, he quotes the Ben Yoyada, I didn't look up the Ben Yoyada inside, but he quotes the Ben Yoyada, and the Ben Yoyada says that the Anshei Knesset and Gedolah were never going to actually put Shlomo HaMelech in the Mishnah. In fact, there was never even an original plan or an original thought to put him in. However, knowing that Shlomo HaMelech was controversial, and so what they wanted to do is they wanted to clearly demonstrate that he does not belong in the Mishnah. And so going through the motions of, oh, let's put him in, and having the image of David and the Baskol and the Psukim and everyone coming out defending Shlomo HaMelech, so they wanted that. Meaning they just wanted to clearly demonstrate that Shlomo HaMelech had no business even being part of a discussion of being put in our Mishnah. Well, that's regarding that. Yeah, that's regarding the decision of halacha, yeah. Right? The decision of halacha is up to us. But in terms of who gets in and out of Olam Haba, that's strictly within the realm of Akash Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's right, right. So, right, exactly. Dorshe Rishumot, so Rashi describes them as people who darshan psukim. Hayu omrim, so they would say, kulam bayim lolam haba, everyone would get a chelek lolam haba, and this is contrary to our Mishnah. In other words, our Mishnah had exclusions, and the three kings were excluded. And our Darshe Rishumot are going to say, no, they're included as well. Now, what does that mean? That this Brisa argues with our Mishnah? So the answer may be, yeah. This Brisa may be in contradistinction to our Mishnah. But anyway, how you omrim kulam baim lolam haba, they're going to get a chelek lolam haba. We quote a pasuk from Tehillim, Shenemar. Li gila v'limanesha v'efrayim ma'oz roshi yehuda mechokiki, mo'av sirachsi al adam ashlich na'ali alai peleshes yisro a'i. And so now the darshanim of this pasuk are going to read the pasuk phrase by phrase as it relates to various personalities. Ligalad ze achav shenafal. So the ligalad is a reference to Achav, where shenafal b'Ramos Gilad. Where did he fall? He fell in Ramos Gilad. We already described that earlier. How Achav died in the battle of Ramos Gilad. Remember, he was seduced by the ruach, i.e., Navos, to go into battle, and that's where Achav lost his life. Menashe kemashmo. Now, in this pasuk in Tehillim that we just quoted, so Menashe, we don't need to darshan Menashe. Meaning Menashe is Menashe, meaning it's referencing the king Menashe. And Ephraim was Roshiza, Yeravam Dekasi mi Ephraim. And the Ephraim is a reference to, Ephraim is a reference to Yeravam. Yeravam comes from Shevet Ephraim. And and Yehuda mechoka ki ze achitofel, Dekasi mi Yehuda. Now, the Achitofel actually comes from Yehuda, and he's a Mechokeg because he was a Rebbe. He was a Rebbe to David HaMelech, so he was a lawgiver. And Moav Sir Rachzi Zege Chazi, Shalak al Iske Rechitza. And the Moav Sir Rachzi is a reference to Gechazi because he got punished over the bath. What bath are we talking about? So Naaman, who was the general of the Aram army, so he had tzaras, he got leprosy, or whatever tzaras may be, and he went over to Elisha, and he sent a message to Elisha, what do I do? And Elisha, through Gehazi, the messenger, said, go bathe in the Jordan River. He bathed in the Jordan River, and he recovered from its tzaras. Now Naaman wanted to pay, so then he sent a message back to Elisha, how much do I pay? Elisha said, no, you don't pay anything. I'm a Navi. So you don't pay. In other words, I gave you that advice, and it's free. So so when Gehazi went back and Gehazi said to Naaman, how much to charge? So this is how much Elisha asked to charge. In other words, Gehazi, despite the fact that Elisha said not to charge, so Gehazi charged, and as a result of that, Gehazi was punished. He had an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, and he made a terrible Chilul Hashem. And so that's why the pasuk in Tehillim, Mo'av Sirachzi, is a reference, it's an allusion to Gehazi. And finally, Al Edom Ashlich Na'aliza Doeg Hadomi. And Edom is a reference to Doeg Adomi. So, the seven people mentioned in our Mishnah, who, in according to our Mishnah, do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. So, the Darshu Rishumas, when they quote this pasuk in Tehillim, so they say no, just the opposite. These seven do have a chelek in Olam Haba. Alai Palashas Yisroai. And now we get to the end of that pasuk in Tehillim that we just quoted. And the Gemara now is going to dash in the end of this pasuk. Amar Malach Hashem Sof Nekrosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. Im Yavo Davish Harag Es Aplishti Vaharish Es Banav Gas. So in other words, the word Palashas is a reference to David HaMelech who killed the Plishti, the Philistine, and also got the city of Gaza and bequeathed it over to his children. So he's going to be upset. Why is he going to be upset? Because look who just got entrance into Olam Haba. Doeg and Achitofel, two sworn enemies of David HaMelech. And so David HaMelech now is going to be like, really? And now I'm going to live with them for eternity? So Mata Selo, so what are you going to do? Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu, how are you going to handle that? So Amar Lahem, so now we're darshing that last word in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Allah lasos amreim zelazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am a peacemaker, and I will make peace between David HaMelech and Doeg and Achitofel. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, not to worry, I'll make the peace. Okay. We are now going to be going through a sequence of one Pasuk and three different examples of this one pasuk. The pasuk we're quoting is from Yirmiyahu. Madua shovivaha mazeh yushlaim mishuva nitzeches. Basically, we're looking at a winning answer. Now, winning answer does not necessarily mean, and I'll say it even stronger, it does not mean a correct answer. But tshuva nitzeches over here just simply means an answer which didn't have a good comeback. And so what we're going to find now, we're going to see three examples throughout Navi that the Navi is trying to reprimand the Jewish people, correct the Jewish people, and have them do tshuva, and the Jewish people come back with an answer. And again, it's an answer that's difficult to have a comeback. Of course, that doesn't mean they're right. It just simply means that they, you know, banter is not the right word, but in the exchange between Knesset Yisrael and the Navi, Knesset Yisrael seems to have won the debate. So Amar Rav, Tshuva Nitzeches, Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael Navi. So this is going to be our first example of this idea. So a winning answer was given by Knesset Yisrael to the Navi. Amalam Navi Yisrael Chazur B'Tshuva. So the Navi says to the Jewish people, okay, I need you to do Tshuva. Avosechem Shechatu Hechenheim. And where are your forefathers now? Meaning the ones who did not do Tshuva. They died by sin. They died with their sins. So Amr lo, so they said to the Navi, Unaviyechem shalochatu, hechenheim. Yeah, but okay, I can ask the same question about Nevi'im. Meaning we're talking about prophets. So we're talking about Sadike Olam. So where are they right now? They're also dead. So Shenemar v'sechem, Ayeheim v'Nevi'im hala olam yichyu. Nevi'im live forever also? No, of course they don't. In other words, they also are mortal, and they also die. So your question, where are your forefathers? So the return on that to that question is, okay, and where are the Nevi'im? Same place. Chazer v'hodu shenemar, ach devarai v'chukai shir tzivisi, es avadai, Nevi'im v'chulei. And then eventually they conceded. Meaning eventually, at a later point in time, they got the point that, no, there's obviously a fundamental difference between dying with sins versus dying without sins. Meaning we're all mortal, we're all going to die, but in other words, there's obviously a fundamental difference to dying with or without chataim. And so eventually the message was relayed that you should be doing tshuva, but at the time it seemed to have been a winning answer that was given by Knesset Yisrael to the Navi. Gemara is going to give a second example. So Shmuel Amar, Bo'u Asar B'nei Adam V'yashuva L'fanav. 10 people stand in front of the Navi. Amar Lahem, so the Navi says, Chazer B'tshuva. Okay, gentlemen, time for tshuva. So Amar Lo Evesh Amachu Rabo. So, two examples of a severed relationship. Let's say the wife got divorced. Let's say the master sold the slave. So now we are looking at a severed relationship. The wife and the husband have nothing to do with one another. They're no longer husband and wife. They're two independent people. When you sell a slave, so that slave no longer belongs to you. And what they were claiming is that that's our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that's it. We have lost the relationship with him. We are a divorced wife, we are a sold slave. So, Amalo, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lenavi, Lechem, Or Lehem. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Navi, meaning again, at the time when they gave that response, so the Navi had nothing to say. Meaning, and again, the idea of a tshuva nitzeches, right? A seemingly winning answer to the attempted correction of the Navi. Amalo, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lenavi, so this is now like the postscript. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Navi, okay, this is what you need to say. Lechem or lehem. Ezer sefer krisis limchem. Asher shalachticho. Mimenu shayasher mechartti eschem lo. Hein ba menosechem nimkarti. Uve pish echem. Shucha imachem. Gemara quotes from the beginning of Yeshayahu, third paragraph of Yeshayahu. Basically, there's no bill of divorce. There's no sale. Meaning, your example is not correct. Right? In other words, this is not like a divorced woman. It's like a husband and wife that are separated. It's like the slave is going against the owner, but the owner didn't sell the slave. So in other words, it's not a severed relationship. Certainly a hurt relationship, a difficult relationship, but it's not a severed relationship. And Reish Lakish also supports this idea that we were not a slave that was sold. David Avdi, Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. In Sefer Shmuel, David is referred to as an Eved. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar is described as an Eved, an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gala, and it's a strange way to describe Nebuchadnezzar, but the Gemara goes on to explain. Reish Lakish explains. Gala v'yaduth nemi shamar v'ayolam shasinim Yisrael amakach. Leficha chikta HaKadosh Baruch Hu karo avdo. Eved shakana nechasim, Eved lami, nechasim lami. It was important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to label Nebuchadnezzar as an Eved. Why? Because now, yeah, let's even say we were sold to Nebuchadnezzar. But who's Nebuchadnezzar? He's nothing more than an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, we have the rule of Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo, that whatever the Eved acquires really belongs to the owner of the Eved. So even if you want to say you were sold to Nebuchadnezzar, but that doesn't mean you were sold to another entity, meaning Nebuchadnezzar himself is quote-unquote owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you being sold to Nebuchadnezzar is just simply, it's not a change of ownership. Okay, it obviously describes a difficult relationship, right? A damaged relationship, but it's not a severed relationship. Okay, and now we are going to be doing one more pasuk to this idea. I'm sorry. Not yet. Well, that's coming up in just a moment. Va'ola avru chacham ha'yulot tiyah asher atem omrim niyeh kegoyim kemishpachot ha'aretzot v'zor netiyah v'chem ha'shfucha emloch aleichem. The pasuk in Yecheskel says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eventually going to get so fed up with us that in his anger, he's going to rule over us. And Amar Rav Nachman kol ke'ayrizcha lirsach rachmana alan v'lifer kinan. And to which Rav Nachman says, I kind of hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets that angry. Meaning, it's obviously not the best way for us to be redeemed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get so angry with us, he's going to redeem us out of anger, and he's going to force his malchus on us. So Rav Nachman says, you know what? I'll take it. But it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be gullah, he's going to redeem us, and it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is once again going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Out of anger? Fine. Vayisru lemishpat elokav yoronu. I'm sorry, yorenu. Okay, this is now going to be a third example. Third example of a tshuva nitzeches, where, once again, seemingly we have a winning argument against the Navi. And the Gemara now quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu, the 28th parak, and the Gemara goes on to explain, Amar Rava, Baruch Hanna, Amar Lam, Navi Yisrael, the Navi says to the Jewish people, Chizra tshuva, okay, time to do tshuva, Amar Lo, Ein Anu Yecholam, Yetzahara Sholei Banu. So they say, well, look, it's really difficult for us because we have a Yetzahara. So Amar Lahem, okay, in other words, again, they're right. It's funny, the Gemara calls this a tshuva nitzeches. Okay, we have a Yetzahara. So Amar Lahem, Yisru Yitzrechem. So the Navi says, okay, your Yetzahara, so you subjugate it. Meaning you lash out at your Yetzahara. Okay, so you fight the Yetzahara. You could do it. So Amar Lo Elokav Yorenu. And so they say, no, you know what? We have a better idea. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with our Yetzahara. Meaning he's the one who created it, he's the one who put it in us. So in terms of our Yetzahara, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with it. Okay. No response to that. Again, seemingly a tshuva nitzeches. Okay, but that's not why we're here. We're here to fight our Yetzahara. But okay. A third example. Okay, so now we're going to put a little bit of a bookmark over here in the Gemara. So this is now Adkan, the Gimel Malachim, the three Malachim do not gain entrance into Olam Haba. They do not have a Chelek in Olam Haba. The Mishnah has three and four. Three kings and four non-kings, what the Mishnah described as hedyotos. Okay, hedyotos is a pejorative term, but it just in the context of the Mishnah, it just simply means non-kings. So three kings and four non-kings did not have any chelik in Olam Haba. So we went through the three kings, and now we turn attention to the four non-kings. So Arba Ajotos, Bilam, Vidog, V'achitofa, V'gechazi. So we start off with Bilam. Okay, and we do like we have been doing up through this whole sugya, and that is we start with the name. What's in a name? So Bilam below Am. So Bilam is a contraction of somebody who is has no nationality. In other words, he freelances, he's a free agent, he does not have a particular nationality. Dava Acher Bilam Shibila Am. He confuses the people. He gives eitzas in terms of what we should do to the Jewish people, so he's confused. He's confusing. Meaning, I'm saying that as a verb. He confuses other people. And Ben Ba'or, Sheba Al Be'ir. Now, is Ben Ba'or because the simple pshat is that it's a reference to his father. But Sheba Al Be'ir, he had relations with an animal. Now, it's not perfectly clear if the Gemara right now is using this to describe Bilam or Bilam's father. Now, later on, we will, in fact, talk in the Gemara about how Bilam himself was involved in bestiality. So it could simply be that this is just reference to Bilam, but on the other hand, also, as you'll see in the upcoming Gemara, it seems a little bit more like we're describing the father of Bilam. But okay, in other words, you know, the father engages in bestiality, and so does the son. And okay, anyway, but it's as we're about to see, it sounds like we're describing the father. Tana, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Hu Ba'or, Hu Kushan Rishasayim, and Hu Lavan Harami. So three people who are the same people. It's Ba'or, it's Kushan Rishasayim, and it's Lavan Arami. So Ba'or, of course, we know is the father of Bilam. Now Lavan Arami, of course, we know. Yaakov spent 20 years by Lavan. Okay. His mother's brother. Fine. And Kushan Rishasayim, so that's in Shoftim, in the third peck of Shoftim. One of the enemies of the Jewish people. Okay. And subjugated the Jewish people in the third peck of Sefer Shoftim. Now, obviously, this covers a long expanse of Jewish history, meaning we're going all the way back to Lavan, and we're going all the way forward to Kushan Rishasayim. So that's the Avos to Shoftim, and that's hundreds and hundreds of years. So is the Gemara here to be taken literally, that they're literally the same person? Well, we had something similar to Nevat. In other words, Nevat also covered hundreds upon hundreds of years in terms of longevity. So it could be, but on the other hand, it could also simply be that they all had the same persona, they all exemplified the same evil traits, and that could be the pshat of the Gemara as well. Okay. Anyway, Ba'or Sheba'al Be'ir. So again, the Gemara is darshaning the three names of Bilam's father. So number one, Ba'or Sheba'al Be'ir, he engaged in bestiality. Kushan Rishasayim Da'avad Shtei Rishuyos BeYisrael Achaz BeMei Yaakov. He's double bad, meaning try to do bad to during the times of Yaakov, meaning he tried to destroy Yaakov. We know in Parshas Kisavo, Arami Ovid Avi, and you look at Rashi over there. So you look at Rashi and you look at the Haggadah as well, and you'll know Arami Ovid Avi is a reference to Lavan. Lavan Bikish Lakor Sakol. Lavan wanted to destroy us. So that's one time that Ba'or slash Lavan slash Kushan Rishasayim wanted to destroy us. And the second time, Achaz Bimei Shvada Shoftim. And also during the Shoftim as well. Meaning in the third paragraph of Sefer Shoftim. So this individual tried to subjugate the Jewish people. Didn't try. Successfully subjugated the Jewish people. And Mashmo Lavan Aramishmo. And his actual name is Lavan. Okay. Ksiv ben Ba'or. Uksiv beno Ba'or. Now, the psukim in Parshas Balak are slightly confusing in terms of whether Ba'or is the father or the son. Meaning, in one place he's called Ben Ba'or, and in the other place it says Beno Ba'or. Is Ba'or the father or the son? Now, it could be both. It could be that he named his son after his father, but the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara goes otherwise, says otherwise. Amar Rav Yochanan, Aviv Beno, Hulo Benevios. So, even though biologically Ba'or is the father of Bilam, but spiritually, he's like the son of Bilam. Meaning, Bilam, in terms of Nevuah, was a greater Navi. So therefore, biologically, Ba'or is the father, but in terms of Nevuah and Ruchnias, Bilam's greater. Okay. Bilam hu delo asu lamed ase. Ashar gar machrina asu. And now the Gemara is going to take on a big topic. And truth be told, the Gemara is not going to be spending a lot of time with it, but it is a big topic. And that is the goyim of this world. How? What is their status in terms of Olam Haba? Do they or do they not get a chelek in Olam Haba? So from the Mishnah, you can make a very simple diak. And that is, the Mishnah lists Bilam as somebody who does not get a chelek in Olam Haba. Bilam, of course, is not Jewish. So what's the inference? The clear inference from there is that the rest of them are going to be receiving a chelek in Olam Haba. And so our Mishnah is taking a stand on this position. A position, as we're about to see right now in the Gemara, is controversial, subject to a debate. So Masisa Mani, who's the Mishnah, going like Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that debates this very issue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yeshuva Rishayim Lusha'ola, Kogoyim, Shcheche Elokim. Gemara quotes the Pasuk from the ninth parak of Tehillim, in which the Pasuk describes how the Rishayim are going to go down to the Sha'ola. Now, Sha'ola, we see that word come up in Chumash again and again. So it's a description of a grave, but it's not just physical grave, but it means Sha'ola means that you're going to go down to the depths and you're not going to be experiencing any portion of the world to come, in any part of Olam Haba. So Rishayim are going to go down to Sha'ola, and Kol Goyim and all the nations, Shechei Elokim, who forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yeshuva Rishayim, L'Sha'ola Eloposh Yisrael. Now, there are two phrases in this Pasuk. And so what Rabbi Eliezer is going to do is he's going to separate these two phrases. And Yeshuva Rishayim L'Sha'ola, that is a reference to Poshe Yisrael, meaning the Jewish people who are sinning. So they're not getting a chelek in Olam Haba. And Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim Elo Poshe Ovdei Kochavim. And as far as Kol Goyim, that's the second phrase, and that's a reference to Ovdei Kochavim. They also do not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Yoshua V'chi Nemar V'chol Goyim. Now Rabbi Yoshua says it does not say B'chol Goyim. V'alolo Nemar Ela Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. It simply says Kol Goyim. So now Ela, so according to Rabbi Yeshuva Rishayim L'Sha'ola Maninu, Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's not two phrases, but rather one is modifying the other. So all the nations who are Shechei Elokim, so they're not going to be getting a chelek in Olam Haba, but seemingly the rest of them are going to be receiving a chelek in Olam Haba. Now the Rasha himself, meaning Bilam, so he gave a sign that he is not getting a chelek in Olam Haba. What's the sign that he gave? Amar tamus nafshi mos yisharim. So my soul should die, the mos yisharim, the death of the, quote-unquote, the righteous. So im tamus nafshi mos yisharim te achrisi kamovi im lav hini olech lami. So he says like this. Look, let's see how I die. If I die natural death, so then I'm going to be receiving a portion of an Olam Haba. However, if I do not receive a natural death, if I'm murdered, so then I'm going to head off to Gehenna. And so we know that Bilam did not die a natural death, meaning in the war against Midian, so Bilam was also killed in that war. So he put the siman in himself, in which indicated that he's not going to be receiving a chelek in Olam Haba. Vayachu ziknei Moav ziknei Midian. And so now, as we are discussing Bilam and his lack of chelek in Olam Haba, so the Gemara now uses this as an opportunity to darshan the psukim in the Torah that describe Bilam. So obviously we're going to be spending some time now in Parshas Balak, and we start with the beginning. Vayelchu ziknei Moav ziknei Midian. So Moav and Midian now are headed together as an envoy, to go try to petition Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Petition and solicit. So Tana the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Midian v'Moav lo hayalam shalom e'olam. Now it happens to be that Midian and Moav were sworn enemies one to another. Mashal shnei klavim shayu be'eder. So the Gemara gives a parable, and the parable is two dogs who shvayu tzuhuvim ze leze. Now these dogs happen to hate one another. Okay, so we had serious dog beef going on. Baze eval echad. So now a wolf attacks one of the dogs. Amar ha'echad im eini ozro hayom horego so lamacher ba elai. So I know what's going to happen, says one of the dogs. If I don't help out right now, so today I got spared, but tomorrow I'm not going to be spared. Hal chushnem v'argu ha'ze'ev. So the two of them get together now in order to kill the wolf. Okay, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Okay, and so Moav and Midian made a union, even though they were not friendly to one another. So they made a union in order to attack the Jewish people. And here we have Rav Papa again. Okay, I want a scorecard next time I go through Chelek, God willing. I want a scorecard of how many Amar of Papas we have, you know, giving us like life lessons and explaining, you know, idioms of the day. Hainu Damri Inshe, so Rav Papa says, this is what people say, Karkushas of Ashunra, when you have the weasel and the cat. Avdu Hilula Mitarba Devishkada. So they're going to have a chasna. Okay, obviously it's an idiom, it's an expression. They're going to have a chasna, enjoying the fat of some unlucky individual, right? The word gada means luck. When gada was born, so right. So the mother said, "Oh, by God!" And if you look at Rashi over there in the Chumash, so Rashi brings down a couple pshatim, but one of the pshatim is that the word gada means luck. And bish, of course, we know in Aramaic means bad, right? Lishna bisha, right? That's lashna hara. It's bad. So so some unlucky person is going to be the fat of some unlucky individual. Individual here doesn't necessarily mean human, but some unlucky individual's fat is going to be the meal of the weasel and the cat. The weasel and the cat who don't typically get along so well, but you know if they have a common goal and they have a common enemy, so they're going to go after it. Vayeshvu sarei Moav im Bilaam. Sorry, vayeshvu. That's better. Vayeshvu sarei Moav im Bilaam. So the princes of Moab now are together with Bilaam, Vasari Midjan, and Echanazel, and the Gemara asks a simple question. As you're reading Chumash, this question, you're going to think about this question. And that is, we know we have two representatives in this envoy going down to Bilaam, and meanwhile, we kind of lost Midjan along the way. Where'd they go? So, Kevin Damalu, Linu Pohalaila Vashivosi Eschem Davar. Because remember, what was Bilaam's response? Bilaam said, you know what, I need a night to think about it. So you stay here the night, and tomorrow morning I'm going to give you a response. Amru, so the Sari Midjan, the princess of Midjan said, Klum Yesh Av Shesones Beno. Oh, okay, fine. He's got to consult with God? You know what the answer is going to be. The answer is going to be no. It'll be, of course. The father is not going to reject the child. The father over here being a Kash Baruch Hu, the child, of course, being us, Klal Yisrael. Father's not going to reject the child. We know what the answer is going to be. Sari Midjan just packed up their bags and they said, okay, we're going to go. Amr Rav Nachman Chutzpah Filu Kalpe Shmaya Mahani. Now, chutzpah is effective. Now, I don't think this is a Gemara condoning chutzpah, but in other words, there's a certain effectiveness to chutzpah, which actually we described earlier as well, but the Gemara now is going to be describing again here, and that chutzpah is effective. Meaning, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's first response to Bilaam? No, it's a, don't go. Done. And meanwhile, of the self, so ksiv kum lechitam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, go with him. What changed between point A and point B? And the answer, of course, is chutzpah. Meaning, Bilaam asked again. And with that chutzpah, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu said no to him, but he asked again. And so the chutzpah is effective. So, it works. Amar Sheshes chutzpah machusa b'lo tagihi. The Gemara describes chutzpah as basically a king without a crown. In other words, there's so much power that's contained within chutzpah, so you are like a monarch, but of course, it's like a king without a crown. So David was anointed to be the king, and people were like peppering him, like elbowing him, like you see over there, Yoav ben Tzruya, punish him, punish Yoav ben Tzruya. So Yoav at that point in time killed Avner, Asael as well, yeah. So killed Avner, killed, in other words, so they said to David, you know, Yoav killed Avner. And this is after David made peace with Avner. And still Yoav, because of his hatred for Avner, killed Avner. Right? We discussed this earlier in the Masechta. So and David HaMelech says, no, I can't. Meaning, even though I'm a king and even though I have a crown, but you know what Yoav has? He has chutzpah. And it's like being a king when you have chutzpah. So again, just the idea of how effective chutzpah can be. I'm Rav Yochanan Bilaam Chiger Brago Achas Hayash and Nemar Vayelech Shefi. Bilaam was lame in one leg. The Navi describes is that when he walked with a limp. Shimshon Vishtei Raglav. Shimshon was lame in both of his legs. And one of the strongest human beings that is known to us through Tanakh could not walk. Or in other words, you know, the Gemara is going to give a description, a visualization of here. When Yaakov is giving brachas to his son, so to Dan, So the Yaakov says, Shifon ale orach anoshechet veisus, you're like a snake slithering on the ground. And if you look at Rashi over there in those psukim in Parshas Vayechi, so you're going to see Rashi there describing that all the bracha that Yaakov gave to his son Dan was really in reference to Shimshon. Shimshon, who was from the Shevet of Dan. And over here, the Gemara's description of Shimshon, meaning via the Nevuah of Yaakov to Dan, is that he's like a snake slithering on the ground. What does that mean? So in other words, in our context now, it means that Shimshon couldn't walk. He was lame in both of his legs. And so when walking, he looked like a snake slithering on the ground. Bilam summa ba'achas me'enav ha'yashenemer shesum ha'ayin. Bilam couldn't see out of one of his eyes. The pasuk in Parshas Balak describes how he was shesum ha'ayin. Kosem ba'amaso hayam. And when he performed sorcery, he used his male organ in order to do so. Dichsiv hacha nofel v'galui enayim uksiv hasam v'inei haman nofel al hamita. So we know that when it comes to Haman, he made a pass at Esther. Okay, and again, you read the Midrashim, you read the Rashi's over there in Megillas Esther. So the Malach pushes Haman, but in either event, in other words, it describes basically an attempt to have relations, and so obviously that's talking about the Amma. So we're using now the same language of. We're using nofel, in other words, the word nofel by Bilam and the word nofel by Haman. It mar zucha amar kosim amasoya mar bere deravina amar sheba alasano. Now, certainly, Bilam was making usage of his ama. How was he making usage of it? So the Gemara brings down opinions of the Amorim. One is of the opinion, like we just said, that he does his sorcery through his ama, and the other one says that no, it was balasano. In other words, he had relations with his animal. Now, earlier this morning, we described how his father also had relations with an animal. Manda Amar, Kosim Amaso Hayakid Amar. Now, Kosim Amaso, we just quoted the Psukim, and the connection between the Pasuk in Bilam, in Parshas Balak, and the Psukim by Megillas Esther. Manda Amar Balasano Hayak, Siv Hacha, Kara Shachav, Siv Hasam, Bain Ragleha, Kara Nafal Shachav. Once again, a link between two Psukim. The Pasuk over here describing Abilam Karashachav, he crouched, and in Shoftim, in Perek Dalid, actually Perek Hay, this is the Shira. So when Sisera is running away, so she tucks herself into the tent of Yael, and we know the Gemara tells us that Yael, in order to wear down Sisera, so she had relations with him multiple times. Gemara elsewhere said seven consecutive times. V'yodad asalion. Okay, going back now to Bilam, and the Navi describes Bilam as being a Navi par excellence. He was Yodea Das Elyon. He knew the Chachman, the mindset of his creator. To which the Gemara basically says, I find that hard to believe. Bilam could not have been such a great Navi. Hashta Das Behemta Lo Havayada Das Elyon Havayada. And the Gemara over here, this Gemara should sound familiar. This Gemara is in the beginning of Brachos, verbatim. And so we're going to be repeating a Gemara that we saw back in Brachos on Daf Zion. So the Gemara here says, Hashta das Behemta lo havayada das elyon havayada. He didn't even understand and comprehend his animal. There's no way that he fully comprehended a Kadosh Baruch Hu. My das Behemto. So what does that mean? Meaning, where do we see that he didn't comprehend his animal? The Amrile. So my time alo rechavta susya. So as they were leaving from Bilam's house to head towards Balak, so Bilam now rides on his donkey. And the princes and the officers say, donkey, that's an unusual way to travel. Like, in other words, why don't you get on your horse? So Amar Lahu, so Bilam says to the officers, Shaddai Lu Biritiva. Or what do you mean? My horses right now are grazing, and they're just simply unavailable. So Amar Lahu, so the donkey now says to Bilam, now, again, this is right now in the world of Agadata, so is this an actual conversation, or was this during when the Asun actually spoke? Whatever the case. Meaning, this is just simply emphasizing the point that Bilam did not even, he didn't even intuit to his own donkey. There's no way he intuited towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Halo Anochi Asun Cha. So the donkey says, and now, the Gemara here is quoting the Psukim in which when the donkey actually spoke to Bilam. How can you make the accusation of, oh, my horses are right now, they're grazing? What do you mean? I'm your donkey. So in other words, you always use me. So the Gemara says, Latina ba'ama. So now the dialogue, the debate between Bilam and his donkey. So Bilam says, what do you mean? Yeah, I use you, but as you know, just to help, with the burden, meaning shoulder the burden. Asher rechavta alai. Well, no burden, meaning you ride on me. Ekrai ba'ama. So Bilam says in his defense, only occasionally. Me'od chad yamazeh. What do you mean occasionally? Every day. V'lo od ala shani oselacha ma'isei ishas balayla. And not only do you ride on me during the day, but at night, so we're like husband and wife. So ksiv hacha haskenis kanti ksiv hasam usilo sochenis. In other words, again, using two psukim, and it's like a quasi gzereshava. But noting that when David was lying down with Avishag, so the Torah, the Navi over there describes usilo sochenis. Now, I know I'm getting a little detail oriented. But over there, even though they lie down together, they were not intimate with one another. And over here, the asam was describing intimacy. But still, the idea is, however, is that they lie down together, a husband and wife. Usilo sochenis, and we have over here the pasuk askenis kanti, same verb, same root. So in other words, the donkey says to Bilam, what do you mean? I'm like a wife to you. Elamai v'yodei dasalian. So now we return back to our original question. So if Bilam the Navi was not even able to comprehend his animal, and basically his animal beat him in a debate. So when the Navi describes him as being Yodea Das Elyon, oh, he really understands the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What the Gemara now is saying, again, effectively, is it's really hard to understand. Meaning there's no way that he really understood the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says basically what Bilam had is he had one trick up his sleeve. Elamavi Yodea Das Elyon Shaya Yodea Lechavin Asoshash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kois Ba. What he knew is that there was a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. We will explain when and why in just a moment. The Gemara quotes over here from the Navi Micha, you know what Bilam attempted to do, and you know what I did. So, my laman da sitkos Hashem, and what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was such a tzaddik? Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, du'u na, kama tzedokos asisi yimachem, you should know how much charity I gave you. Shalo ka'asti kalosam yamim be'me Bilam HaRasha. That when Bilam tried to curse you, and he knew when I get angry, so I made it a point during that time period not to get angry. Shomali ka'asti kalosam yamim l'sharim yisonem she Yisrael srid upalit. And if I would have gotten angry when Bilam cursed you, so then there would have been not a survivor of the Jewish people. Hainu dekamale Bilam labalak. Bilam says to Balak, Ma ekov lo kabo kel. I can't curse the Jewish people. Kadosh Baruch Hu won't allow me to do that. He doesn't curse the Jewish people. So ma ezom lozam Hashem. Malami shekol osam yamim lozam Hashem. And again, the Gemara just repeats what we learned together, but based on the psukim in Bilam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow the cursing to happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get angry at that point in time. So, what we so far now know is that Bilam was a one trick pony. So, he had one trick up his sleeve. In other words, and he knew the moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to angry. So basically, he was able to coordinate with that moment, and that's how his curses were generally successful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow himself to get angry during that period of time. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry, and why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry? The Gemara is going to address both of those issues. Kel zawein b'chol yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. The pasuk in Tehillim, the seventh parak. V'kama za'amo regam. Now, how long does he get angry? So it's for a moment. Shenemar ki rega be'apo chayim b'rtzono. So it's just for a moment. The Gemara in Brachos actually puts this in increments of time. I forgot exactly what the Gemara throws out a number, but it's a fraction. It's a fraction of a moment. So ibayis ema aleich ami bo bechaderecha skor delasecha badecha chavi kimat rega ad yavor za'am. Gemara quotes another pasuk from Yeshayahu describing this moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. We all, the Navi describes that we're all going to go into our rooms, close the door, and hide while HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this moment of anger. Amos Rasach. Okay, so now we know it's a moment. When during the day does he get angry? Betlash Shai Kamaisa. Sometime during the first 3 hours of every day. Ki Chavra Karbala Tatarnagola. And what's a simon? Meaning how on we on earth are supposed to know when during these first 3 hours of the day? So you look at the, I forgot what that thing is called on the rooster. You know, the thing that, you know, dangles. Comb? They call it a comb? Okay, the comb. So the comb, so you look at the comb of the rooster and you'll see the comb of the rooster is white. And when it's white, so then that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. That's the simon down here. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The comb is generally white. So the Gemara says, "Kol shayde v'shayde is busurki sumke." Now you're going to find red streaks in it, and then ha'ishayde. But then at that moment, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, lays busurki sumke. They're not even red streaks in the comb of the rooster. Okay. Now I'd like to add it's probably correct, although I don't have a source for this right now. The first 3 hours of the day, what's the significance? You remember the Gemara in Brachos? The Gemara in Brachos says that we have the opportunity to say Shema in the morning up to the first 3 hours of the day. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Uv Kumecha, when you get up. And the Gemara says in Brachos, and what does that mean, when you get up? So most people get up early, look at us. We all get up early this morning. But meanwhile, kings, so they get up at the king's hour. So when's the king's hour? So the Gemara in Brachos says, you know, sometime within the first 3 hours of the day. And sometime the first 3 hours of the day. And what do they do when they wake up in the morning? So what they do is they wake up in the morning and they bow down to the sun, right, as a sign of a avodah zarah, right? Not as a sign, as an act of a avodah zarah. It is a avodah zarah. So now, a little bit better understanding in terms of our Gemara over here, and later on the Gemara is going to make allusion to what I'm saying right now. So so that's, parenthetically, by the way, going back to the Gemara in Brachos, that's why the Gemara in Brachos says is that even though most people wake up early, but we do have an extension, so to say, every morning in which we could say Kriya Shema the first 3 hours of the day, because that's when Malachim get up, and therefore it's still a fulfillment of the Pasuk of Uv Kumecha, when you get up. Meaning as long as there are people still getting up, so then it's a satisfaction of the Pasuk. Anyway, but since the kings are getting up, and since they're bowing down to the sun and when they get up in the morning, so that creates that anger. Meaning, what is that anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The anger of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kings, right? Royal idolatry. Kings bowing down to the sun. So that is what creates this anger. Okay, and fine. Back to our Gemara. Omina David b'shivavusei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. David kam tzarlei. Okay, the Gemara follows up with a story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He's an Amora, obviously, living years and years, generations after Bilam. Many. So, but Avikam and Saraleh. So there was a heretic living during the times of Rav Yeshua Malevi in the community of Rav Yeshua Malevi who was giving him tzaros. And so Yumachad Nakatanagola. So Rav Yeshua Malevi, having been, of course, being familiar with our Gemara, so he says, you know what? I'm going to curse the heretic. And just like Bilam attempted to do, so using the simon that we just gave, so I'm going to take a rooster, I'm going to keep it tied up to my bedpost. And then in the morning when I see the comb of the rooster is white, so then I'm going to curse the heretic. And the Gemara goes on to explain his plan and whether it was successful or not. So you know the ending. So he ties the rooster to his bed, va'osiv, and he's sitting now watching the rooster. Amar kimata ushaita ilte, and he says, when the moment comes, I'm going to curse that heretic. Kimata ushaita. When the moment comes, nimna. So he falls asleep. Amar shva min alav arach ara. He took that as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not proper conduct. Dichsiv gam enosh tzadik lo tov. Afilu b'mina, even with heretics. Lo yibayle lememar hachi. It is not appropriate to curse heretics. Okay. Interesting, by the way, because, of course, the 19th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is an anti-heretic bracha. But I could easily suggest, I am suggesting, that there's a difference between cursing versus petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir, B'shash Chamasas Zareches, when the sun is shining, V'amalachim, Minichim Kisreim Al Roshem, V'shachim Lachama, Miyad Kois. And here the Gemara spells out what I mentioned a moment ago, is that when the sun is rising in the morning and the kings are now putting the crowns on their head and they're getting up and they bow down to the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kois. So for that royal idolatry, the idolatry of the monarchs, so Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and that is coordinates with the time in which there's that rega of anger of Kadosh Baruch Hu daily. Okay, and that brings us all the way back. Bilam gets up in the morning and he saddles his donkey. Tanu Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ava mevatel shol shura shol gedula. So Ava, love. Love is very powerful. So in other words, there's general protocol in terms of how somebody great should behave and conduct himself. But meanwhile, when you're talking about love, and we're going to contrast that, of course, with hatred as well, the same thing could be said about hatred. But when you're talking about love, love is such a powerful entity that basically you break protocol based on love. May Avram dichtiv vayishkem Avram baboker. Avram gets up in the morning. And his love for Kadosh Baruch Hu is so strong, and he's so ready to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, it's a painful mitzvah that he's about to fulfill, the sacrifice of his very own son, but still, his love for Kadosh Baruch Hu is so strong, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do so, and what does he do? He saddles his donkey. Avraham was a leader of the generation. It's not normal for a person like that to be saddling one's own donkey. But again, Avraham mekakeles es hashura. But that love that he has to Kadosh Baruch Hu is so strong, it breaks protocol. And the same thing Gemara says can be said regarding hatred. Sinam evatel shura shagadula. And the same thing about hatred. Hatred also breaks protocol. Mi Bilam, we learn from Bilam, shenemar v'yakam Bilam baboker v'yachavosh esosono. And the Gemara assumes that Bilam was this great individual, right? A Navi par excellence and somebody who does not normally saddle his own donkey. But because of the hatred that he has towards the Jewish people, so he gets up there and he saddles the donkey and it's non-protocol behavior. But again, his hatred is so strong, he behaves in such a manner. A person should be involved in Torah mitzvos. And even if it's shelo lishma, still do it. Because even if you're doing it not for the right reasons, but a good action is going to have a good consequence. And eventually what's going to end up happening is that if you do it even for ulterior motives, you're going to end up doing it for the right reasons. Or, in our Gemara's illustration, maybe not you, but it's going to have an effect. So Shibishar Abim Vishaim Karbana Shaikriv Balak, so Zach of Yatsa Mimanu Rus. As a result of the 42 karbanos that were offered by Balak, remember, he moved locations. He offered karbanos on each location, totaling 42 karbanos in total. And even though for Balak he did so, obviously for ulterior motives, and it's not even ulterior motives, by the way. It's bad motives, meaning he did that as a way of cursing the Jewish people, but ultimately, when all said and done, he was makriv karbanos. So certainly shelo lishma, although I know you can make the argument it's beyond shelo lishma, but it's certainly shelo lishma, and at least shelo lishma, and meanwhile, something good came out of all that, and that is Rus, meaning a descendant of Balak, the Moabite, is Rus, the Moabite. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi Barahuna bito shel Eglon, ben beno shel Balak melech Moav haisa. In fact, we could say that the daughter of Eglon was during the times of the Shoftim. He was the Melech Moav. He was the king of Moav. So he was the father to Rus, and the father of Eglon was Balak. Now, you have to understand this literally, genealogically. Again, once again, we're looking at hundreds and hundreds of years of Jewish history. We're starting with Bilam, who was during the Midbar, and then we're going to the Shoftim. Now that is, you know, maybe 100, maybe 200 years later, and it's it's towards the beginning of the period of the Shoftim, seemingly. But then we're going all the way to Rus, and Rus is now, right, a solid 400 years later, afterwards. So there is a Tosfos and Nazir. I got that through the notes in the Masifta. There's a Tosfos and Nazir who says that this is not to be understood super literally, as there are only three generations from Balak to Eglon to Rus, but it could just simply be right that that's part of the genealogy. Okay. Amalei Rava LeRava Bar Mari Ksiv. Oh no, it's late. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with Shlomo HaMelech. So Amalei is where we're going to break for today. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.